The scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalms chapter 84, verses 1 through 2, and verse 10. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the loving God. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is the word of our Lord.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. I don't know if you guys knew it, there's a new grocery store that just is in the area, and it promised to engage all the senses. So, you know, when you go buy the vegetables and the produce, they have that automatic mister. Well, this engages your senses. You hear the sound before mist comes on of distant thunder, and then you smell rain. When you go by the egg section, you hear the clucking of chickens and you smell the aroma of bacon and eggs. When you go by the meat department, you smell grilling steaks in onions. Just better. And talking about better, what I want to do is I want to, for the next 4 weeks, talk about how God has something better for us. And I want you to do me a favor. Just turn to your neighbor real quick and say, God has something better for you. Will you do it with me? God has something. No. I'm sorry. Look back at me. I want you to do it like this. God has something better for you. Okay, now do it. You did it too soon. You're jumping too soon. It's not God has something better for you, okay? Now, when I say God has something better for you, I'm not talking about, you know, better shoes. I'm not talking about a better clothes or a better car or an automobile. Now, God might have all those blessings in store for you, but what I'm talking about is God has a better way of doing life for you, right? And it goes far beyond all the materialistic things of this world. God has a better plan for you. So what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks is look at some of the better things that God has for us. We're going to look at the scriptures that talk about that, and then we're actually going to memorize them. So today I want to talk about our scripture from Psalms 84. Our memory verse is verse 10, but I'm going to read the first two verses of the chapter to kind of give you some background of it. It says this, how lovely is thy what? Dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. So let me explain what the courts of the Lord were. Back in the Old Testament, they worshiped God in the temple, right? But the people couldn't go into the center of the temple, the Holy of Holies. They could only go into the courts. So that was as close as they could get to the presence of God, and they longed for that. And it says this, my heart and flesh sing for the joy to the living God. And then here's our memory verse. Here's what I want us to memorize. For better is what? One day in your courts. So say that with me again. For better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So let's say that again. For better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And here's the other part. It says, I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God. Now, a doorkeeper is like the lowest position. So I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. So let's say that together. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So let's say it one more time together. For better is one day in thy courts than 1,000 elsewhere. For I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell. Okay, so Mark, if you don't mind blanking that out for us. I'm right with you. So, okay, let's try this. Okay. For better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. For I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. All right. Well, the reason why I want us to look at that and to memorize that is because the Bible says, I will hide thy word in my heart. It gives us direction, keeps us from sinning, and it helps us to live the better life that God has for us. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. There are a lot of people who would disagree. They would say, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Why would I want to spend my day off going to church, listening to a sermon, giving an offering, when I could be out running around, when I could be doing what I want, when I could get into some sin? Now, of course, you know, we're all above that, right? We never think anything like that. Let me just take you back before we were all sanctified. Do you know that sin is fun for a moment? Anybody know that? Am I allowed to say that at church here? Sin is fun for a moment. Ask a drug addict. He'll tell you sin is fun until all of a sudden you get addicted. Right? And it takes everything from you. The thief will tell you, sin is fun until you get caught and you lose your freedom. The liar will tell you, sin is fun until no one trusts you anymore. It's fun for a moment. I think about it kind of like this. It's like a sneeze. When a sneeze comes out, it kind of feels relief, you know. Whew, but then there's snot and mess all over the place, and you know. Feels good for a moment, but then it's a total mess. And what I'm trying to say is this, is it's truly better to spend one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. And so here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about why is it better. Why would we be able to say that to someone? Well, the first reason I want to give is because we experience peace in the presence of God. Can you say that with me? Peace is in the presence of God. The Bible says that God will give us a peace that passes all what? Understanding, more than we can understand or know. And we get that kind of a peace when we are in a closer relationship with God, when we know that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. I am going to take you back to a cartoon character, and maybe you'll recognize who this is. Anybody know who it is? The Road Runner, right? I want to tell you, of any cartoon character I've ever seen, the Roadrunner has a peace that passes all understanding. I don't care what situation he's in, the Roadrunner is always cool, right? His feathers never get ruffled. It doesn't matter what Wile-E Coyote is chasing him with, tying him up, getting ready to shoot him with a bazooka. It doesn't matter what device he's bought from Acme. The Roadrunner is always cool. Why is that, that the Roadrunner always has peace? Here's what I think. I think Roadrunner has a tight relationship with his creator. His creator has assured him they've got a deal. No matter what the circumstance is, you're going to be okay. You watch any one of those cartoons, and no matter how bad the situation is, the author, The creator of the Roadrunner always gets him out of the jam. No matter what the coyote gets from Acme, the creator says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I've got you. It's going to be okay. And so you never see the Roadrunner going crazy. Well, we can have that same peace that says no matter what happens in our life, the author, the creator, and the finisher of our faith is in control. I got a friend who has a t-shirt, and it goes around and it says this, I know who wins in the end, right? I love that t-shirt because it's saying no matter what mess might happen to me right now, I know that it's going to be all right because I already know who wins in the end. And we have that when we have a close proximity to our Creator, when we know that He's got us. And now, let me be clear. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through tough times. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through storms, but it means that while you're in the midst of the storm, Jesus is there with you. And I would rather be in the boat with Jesus in the midst of the storm than to be safe on the shore without him, right? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So here's the question for us then. How do we spend this day with God? Well, for a lot of us, we grew up thinking, okay, what we do is when you wake up in the morning, you pray, you have your spiritual time. When you have your meal, you pray, you have your spiritual time. And then you go about with your normal time, right? And the more I'm thinking about this, the more I realize that it's not just we should compartmentalize and say, okay, this is God time, this is the rest of my regular life, and then this is God time, and then this is the regular part of my life, but that everything that we do is spiritual. We need to have an open awareness of God's presence, an open awareness, not just close it off and say, this is spiritual and this isn't. Don't allow God to just have a little part of your time, but allow him to be in the midst of it all, guiding you, comforting you, and convicting you. Let me confess something to you. My wife might admit this as well, is as I've gotten older, when I talk to God, I kind of do it out loud. And she often looks at me like I got a problem. I'll be saying, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And she says, what's wrong? And I was like, did I say that out loud? I didn't even realize I did that. And I think that sometimes when we can become just naturally in the conversation with God, then we're allowing him to permeate our entire life. You know, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, there was no word for what does it mean to spend spiritual time with God. God is the creator of everything, and everything that God created is spiritual. So the disciples wouldn't go to Jesus and say, how's your spiritual life, Jesus? Jesus would say, what do you mean? My whole life, I'm doing my Father's business. And that's what we need to do. Do our Father's business throughout the whole day. When the best time for me is when I can focus. But one of the problems that I have is that in the midst of it, I lose focus. And I don't know if any of you are like me, where we lose focus and we say, okay, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do this, and then the next thing you know, you're starting to think about something else. There are a few times in my life that I can really focus on God and what I'm doing. And one of those times for me is when I'm mowing the lawn. I don't know if it's the sound of the lawnmower or what it is, but it really allows me to focus and to spend that time. I've talked to others and they say when I'm doing the dishes, I really am able to stay focused. Or when I'm on my knees in prayer, or when I'm in my prayer closet, I'm really able to stay focused. But we can't always be mowing the lawn or doing the dishes or on our knees or in our prayer closet. So how is it that we can stay focused even when we're not doing those things? Let me give you a few suggestions. The first suggestion I want to give you is this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So how can you spend the entire day? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, if I were to ask you, how many of you can sing? Can I see a show of hands? How many of you can sing? Sound good in the bathroom. That's good enough. Let me see it again. I wasn't looking. How many of you can sing? Right? Okay. Now, I want to point something out. I saw maybe 20% of us, okay? Here's my thinking about this now. When we say we can't sing, we are confusing our song with our praise for God. If the focus is our praise of God, it doesn't matter how good we sound. And as a matter of fact, can I take it one step further? I think that sometimes it's a distraction if we sound too good. Now you're going to think I'm crazy. What do you mean, Pastor Joe? If we sound too good, it's a distraction. What does that mean? I might be wrong. I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking. I think that sometimes if we sound so good, if it's so great, people will applaud. And who is the applause for? for the singer, for the person. And here, you've totally forgotten about what the song's about. I'm saying, thank you, God, for how good you are and how great you are and how wonderful you are in my life. And then all of a sudden, instead of people hearing those words, instead of them getting the message, all they think is how great you are. So when I think about can I sing, or can a person sing, or can a person draw, or this and that, if you're doing it unto the Lord, the answer is yes. And even if you can't do it great, that's okay, because ultimately all you're doing is saying thank you. And if my thank you outshines what you've done, then all of a sudden then it's twisted. Now, I'm still going to try to be the best that I can. If I'm an artist, I'm still going to try to do the best job I can. If I'm a singer, I'm going to try to sing the best. If I'm a preacher, I'm going to try to do the best I can. But ultimately, I'm not going to let those things keep me from making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And do that throughout your day. Give yourself permission to say that my praise is more important than my performance. Can you say that with me? My praise is more important than my performance. Here's a second way that we can continue to be in the presence of the Lord. And that second thing is serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with a happy heart. Remember what we do is more than just going through the emotions. Have you ever gone to a store and the person serves you with an unhappy heart? We all have, right? I went to Target the other day, and I asked the employee who was there stocking the shelves. I said, can you help me? Where are the air mattress pumps? And he turns at me and he says, with the mattresses, of course. Didn't you look there? Now, at that moment, I wanted to say, why, yes, I did. I just wanted to come up and have this lovely conversation with you about it, okay? No, I didn't look over there. He did not serve me with a happy heart. Now, he went through the motions, right? He told me where it was, but he didn't help me. I didn't feel good about the encounter. He didn't do a good representation for Target. It was not a good encounter. It didn't help him in any way. And I think the same thing is true sometimes when it comes to our attitude of service. It says this in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you were working for the Lord, not for human masters. See, when we serve the Lord with gladness, when we do everything that we're doing, not for men and women, but we do it unto God, it keeps us in the presence of God. And here's the last thing I want to say. Number three, taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you say that with me? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 84 begins with desperation for God. The psalmist says, my soul yearns for you. My heart even faints for you. And I'm thinking, wow, how do you get to that point where you're so desperate for that presence, for that relationship? How do you get there? And then how come sometimes we don't have that? Don't have that fainting. Don't have that yearning. And here's what I think. You develop an appetite for what you eat. Can you say that with me? You develop an appetite for what you eat. One more time. You develop an appetite for what you eat. If we feed on the so-called good life, comfort, convenience, then that's what we begin to yearn for. That's what we constantly look for. The easy way. The thing that's going to make me comfortable. And if I'm in a situation that doesn't have those things, I'm out. But there's another way to look. The better way is to look for the presence of God. The better way is to look for what God has for us. And I want to say you develop an appetite for what you eat. I remember ever since I was young, my steaks, anytime I would eat steak, I would always want it medium well done, and more well done than even medium. Always. And I think the reason why is because as a little kid, I didn't like to see that red stuff. But I remember, you know, all through college and high school, everything growing up, always get mine medium well, even closer to well done. Until one time I was at a place where I was the guest and it would have been rude to say something, and they give me this steak that was not medium well done. I cut into it. Not only did I see a little bit of red stuff, it was running. I stuck a fork into it, and guess what? I'm telling you, I think I heard the thing say moo. I went and put some A1 sauce on it. The thing looked like it was getting ready to get up off the plate. I was like, ah. But I couldn't ask for them to take it back. And so I took a bite of this thing, even though I went, oh, and I bit it. And guess what? Flavor exploded in my mouth. And here's what I thought. I've been missing this my whole life. I thought to myself, burgers that are well done are so dry and tasteless. I'm like, how could I have missed out on this? And guess what? I think the same thing happens in life. We get an appetite for what we eat. And if all you know is the comfort of this world and you never taste and see the goodness of God, you don't long for that. You don't yearn for that. Your heart doesn't faint for that. But once you see that God has something better for you, things begin to change. God has something better for you, a peace that passes all understanding. God has something better for you, not only a grace that forgives, but a grace that forgives and forgets. God has something better for you, a presence that will never leave you nor forsake you. God has something better than the world could ever offer you. Maybe you heard about that supermarket that they got. It's a new supermarket that engages all the senses. In the vegetable section, when the mist comes on, in the distance you hear thunder and you smell rain. In the egg department, there's hens that are clucking and you smell cut hay. In the meat department, you smell steaks on the grill with onions. And in the egg department, you smell bacon frying with eggs. It's wonderful. But you don't want to buy toilet paper there. The world will offer you the good life. The world will try to offer you something convenient and comfortable, but God has something much better. Say it with me. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. For I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God.